I'm a library media specialist in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hey, I'm Ingrid Hansen, and I am a library media specialist in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori Quintana, and I am a elementary media specialist in Marietta, Georgia. Welcome to Overdue.
Conversations from the library.
I never know if you're going to say it or not, Anita, because there's always like this little quiet space in between, but I'll just step back and let you do it from now on.
It's not all me. It's the three of us. So
also, can I point out that not all of us say what grade level we are. Like, we need to do that better.
Yes.
Specifically, Anita and I.
Okay. I thought I said elementary.
Anita is middle school.
Uh-huh. Which is
okay, 68. So I lied. It's just me.
Ingrid is middle school as well.
I am.
Lori is elementary.
Pre-K to grade 5.
And if we want to be specific, Ingrid is actually only 6th grade.
I only have 6th grade babies, which I am grateful for every year. My 6th graders.
Yes, absolutely. And they love you because I see all the comments that you make about how much they miss you and they come in and tell you that. And isn't that just the best thing? Let me tell you, there have been a couple of different times where I've posted on Twitter this week, and it's all about the feeling of how the kids make you feel. Like, I just want to go on there and say, I love being a school librarian. Like, I want to say that every day because the nature of it, aside from all of like the things that are on our plates outside of what our actual job is, when we get to do our actual job as a school librarian, there, like, that is such an inspiration for me. And that's what keeps me going. And these little kids are just so sweet and kind.
So stinking cute, can I just say? Like, so, honestly, every single day, I turn to my parent and I'm like, oh my gosh, they are just so cute. Like, just the sweetest, sweetest little babies. And I am just so grateful to be able to impact them and work with them and help them find books. It makes my heart happy every day.
I mean, that's what it's all about for me as a school librarian. That's why I absolutely love my job. This isn't about me. This is about them and helping them discover who they are as a person and develop community leaders and readers for life and just having conversation with them. Like just having conversation with them that you learn the most amazing things, not just about them, but also about yourself. And so just as an example, I have, you know, you can buy those blow-ups for holidays, the ghosts and all of that other stuff and whatever. Yeah. So I have a couple in my library and they're up and blown up and the kids are just going crazy over them. But there's one with a few ghosts and a couple of pumpkins that's a blow-up. And so the kids that were in there at the time, I was like, let's get a group picture. Anybody who wants to get a group picture, run over here. And they're like, oh, I do. Anyway, I've got this group of kids like surrounding this big blow-up of ghosts and pumpkins. And this girl just turned around and looked at me and she goes, I love you. And so, you know, and another girl a couple of days ago, I was walking through straightening up the library after one of the classes had left. And she looks at me, she's like, Mrs. Quintana, can I have a hug? And I'm like, well, of course you can. And, you know, I know it's a COVID thing and whatever, but I wear a mask and blah, whatever. So I just want to throw that out there. But I hug my kids. Okay. And so if they ask for a hug, I gave her a hug. And then she was like, you're my favorite teacher. Like,
honestly,
does
that just not melt for her? Like,
it does. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go for another 2 hours. Let's go. I can do this. I can keep doing my library programming. I've got, you know what I mean? Like, I've got this inspiration going and stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about that.
I would say that I had a student that went on vacation at the end of September. And I hadn't seen her for a while. Like, she was coming in after I'd left because I have a different schedule. And she came in this week and she's like, Miss Hansen, I missed you so much when I was on break and I haven't seen you. And I brought you a souvenir from my trip.
Oh.
And honestly, it is that moment that allows me to have the power and courage to tackle the 9,000 iPads that haven't been scanned into my Title One inventory. Like, it's
the confidence and courage. I love that.
Where you're just like, little baby, you just, oh my gosh, you just made me so happy.
That I love the confidence and courage. The courage, we need so much courage these days as library media specialists. Anybody, I want to say for any educator, really, because it's really tough. And I think we went back with COVID thinking it was over and we're going to try and be normal again and everything. But I really think that this year is a little bit harder because I feel like we added back the things that were taken away from during COVID, but then now we've got these new responsibilities that developed because of COVID as well. And so we're really trying to balance so many things. But on the note of the student who went on vacation and bought you a souvenir, I had a student that went to Paris over fall break and brought me back an Eiffel Tower keychain. This is one of my students from middle school, the middle school I left, and she's now in high school. So she is still
and she found you.
And she's still connecting with me.
Love
you know what
that.
I mean? So,
so much.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. That's just what it's all about for me. Like literally when the kids walk in the library and like literally they're like, oh, it's so beautiful. So just so
love that. Honestly, when I look at my space, I just see the deficiencies, right? Like I see all the things that I need to make better. And my kids walk in and they're just like, oh my God, this space is amazing.
But it is. But you know what? That's one of the things we always forget. It's a process. So like, you know what I mean? Like how long have you been at Lindley now, Ingrid?
This is my third year.
Okay, so yeah, so you're still building that library programming and your library and your space and everything like that. I mean, I've always heard it takes like 3 full years, but I think, you know, if you reinvent yourself over the years, there's always new things coming out anyway. So you redo things and it's never the same, I guess is what you could say. Sure. So I don't really think that it ends at 3 years, but I've only been doing it for 2 months. But I have to tell you guys, I am so blessed because my library got painted over fall break as well. And so to describe it, one of the teachers walked in and she was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm floating on a cloud. So I was like, oh yes, I love that because that's calming
amazing.
And that's, and you know what I mean? And so like, imagine how these little kids are feeling. It's just like such a calming space, a welcoming space. That's what we do. And so I just had to share that. It's so funny. Exactly. Anita, are you going to talk?
Right?
I am, but I was also dealing with a 19-year-old that was leaving for dinner with one of my friends, a good friend of mine. So he was like talking to me and I had to mute for a minute. So that is because, I mean, Lori, the reason that child brought you that keychain is because you made such a impact on their life. And Ingrid,
I love that so much.
And Ingrid, you've only had that baby that brought you back something for what, about 2 months. In those short amount of times, you've already made a connection with that child that may not have had that connection at their previous school. So kudos to y'all. Great job.
I mean, just really, the library is such a welcoming and safe space for students. And when you're building your program, when you're building your patron base, you know what I mean? So, I just want to say, my library is not quiet. It's not empty. There are always kids in it. There's activities taking place. There's life to it, you know what I mean? And so it's invigorating. I don't know. I just keep saying that over and over, I know, but.
I had a teacher who was impacted by COVID tracing, right? And she came into my space and I was like, I'm so glad you're back. We missed you. And she's like, why are you not out for COVID tracing every week? Like, this is the heart of the school. Everybody is here all of the time. Teachers, students, administrators, you're exposed yes. to everybody.
Yes.
And honestly, my takeaway from that wasn't about COVID. It was just about the fact that other people in my space realize that the Learning Commons isn't just about me or about kids. It's about a community, right? Like, it's about supporting each other and bringing kids in to do different things, whatever. It was just powerful for me.
I agree. And I think that that is where we're trying to redefine exactly what school libraries are and what we're doing in them. And then also what school librarians are and what our tasks are, what's our job description? What is what are we tasked to do every day to impact students and everything? And so, I mean, honestly, I still have colleagues that ask me, what is it exactly that you do? And I mean, and I'm new to a school and have been there for a couple of months. And I've had so many teachers come in and say to me, Lori, this space looks amazing. Lori, like, I can't keep my kids in the classroom.
Oh my God, Lori. I love that. Look at you, Lori.
Like, they keep asking me to go to the library and I'm like, you have work to do, kind of thing. Or they send them to the library with their pass. And like I had a teacher come in. My kids didn't come back when they were supposed to. Please tell me that they were behaving in the library. Was there an issue or something like that? If you don't want them to come back, I'll totally keep them from coming. I was like, they can come to the library. They can stay as long as you want them to and as long as they want to, as long as they got your permission. There's no time limit. But okay, so I'm new to elementary, guys, so I'm learning a lot of things. Okay, so they do come to the library with these little timers, right? And so I got a really big kick out of this one timer that a student had because he set it up on the counter and my picture was on it. The teacher had taken she took my photo from Microsoft Teams and on my email that I posted. And she printed it and she has it taped to the timer. And it just kind of like surprised me. Like I turned, I looked and I saw my picture, you know, like it surprises you when you see your own face and everything. And I just thought that was so adorable. I'm like, oh my gosh. Now these kids, that's another way for the kids to get to know their school librarian for sure.
Love that.
And you know what else
that is awesome.
You know what else has helped is this year is the first time I have done morning news broadcasts. And so, you know, at first I was like, why do library media specialists get tasked with this? Well, I mean, I get the media part of our job description, everything. And then I was like, well, I'm going to own this. And like, this was given to me. I'm a podcaster, you know, I'm going to teach these kids about journalism and, you know, finding their voice on the morning news. And we're going to do some fun things and everything. And so now I totally forgot why I was telling you guys all of this. But anyway, it's my first year doing the morning broadcast. And, somebody go ahead and talk while I think about why I was telling you that.
I would say that the morning broadcast is a very powerful teaching tool, right? Like,
yes, for sure.
You are training these little people to be autonomous and to walk in and handle a camera, to count down somebody, to speak publicly. Like, we are training them to be autonomous and be able to do all of these wonderful things at such a young age. I mean, I think it's amazing.
And let me just say something about morning broadcast. First of all, thank you, Coach Robertson, for doing it at Autry, simply because I don't have to. So I appreciate you doing it. It is one of his passions. He loves that kind of stuff. So I am so glad that he does that. And he's great at it. And here's how great he is at it. So when my son was there as a student, he was on the morning broadcast team for 7th and 8th grade. And then he didn't do, you know, broadcast stuff in high school. He went down a different path with marching band and everything. So when we started going to the church that we go to now, they needed people to work on the AV team. He stepped right up and stepped in as a 17-year-old or so, 16, 17-year-old, going yeah, this is the stuff that we used at Autry with Coach Robertson. I know how to do this. And he walked right into that, and they didn't even have to train him because he had those skills already just from doing morning broadcast 5 days a week for 2 years.
I think that's a big thing, Anita, is because the broadcast equipment is different in every school. It depends on if you've written a grant and got new equipment. Are you using stuff that's been there for quite a few years? So it's different everywhere. So it was a huge learning curve for me, and I had to learn it literally the first day I worked. I was doing announcements, and so now I've grown into it, and it's just become a lot of fun because you can do a lot of fun things. And so let me tell you I remember the reason why I was talking about this, and it's because we were talking about the kids knowing me by seeing my face on the timer. Kids now know me because they see me on the morning announcements as well. And so in the hallway, they will say, "You're on TV. I know you, you're on TV." Aww. Oh, and do you know, I had a girl ask me today in the library, she says, "Are you that Queen person?"
Oh my gosh.
That's so much fun. Like, I'm just loving elementary
you
so
need
much.
A crown to wear that says
you totally really, should be really wearing do. A tiara.
So but yes, Anita, that is so true about the equipment, everything. And so it's great having people around you that know how, and because if you don't have sound one day, you start to panic and you're like, I can't figure out why I don't have sound, or if there's not a picture or something like that. But also, listen to this, guys. Tomorrow's Friday. And our first graders were raising money this week to be able to go on a field trip to the zoo. And so if they raised $100 in donations, my principal would eat one bug. If they raised $200, my principal would eat two bugs. If they raised $300 or more, my principal would eat one bug. And the former principal at our elementary has to come in and eat the other bug. So tomorrow on morning announcements, both of them are eating a bug, and I can't wait to see it. I just can't. I don't know what kind of bug they're going to eat, but
these kids are going to go crazy. I would just say, I'm not eating a bug. That would be so much money raised. There are no bugs entering my body.
I mean, like, are you getting a menu and you pick one? I mean, like, I don't know what they're giving them, but I guess they're freeze dried from what I understand. I don't know. I'm still not doing it either, but anyway.
I don't know.
It just speaks to the commitment of your administration.
Yes.
And I love that.
And it makes all the difference, you know, because kids watch us, and I've said this before, they're watching us, they're seeing us invest in them. They're seeing us, you know, that we care about them now and their future and stuff like that. And once you've built that relationship and made that connection with them, it's amazing. So,
okay. So I have a celebration.
Okay.
Woohoo!
So, those that don't live in Georgia may not know what I'm talking about. So let me just set this up good. We have the Helen Ruffin Reading Bowl. Helen mm-hmm. Ruffin was a former librarian in DeKalb County who wanted to get students reading. So she created this reading bowl where they read so many books, and then it was like quiz bowl to answer the questions, and you compete against each other. It started in her school, and it spread throughout DeKalb County, and now it's spread throughout the state of Georgia. So it's a statewide thing that we have, and we call it HRRB at our school, but it's Helen Ruffin Reading Bowl. And I used to be the chairperson for many years in Cobb County. Like, I think I was a chair for like 4 or 5 years, maybe more.
Yes, you were competition for everybody.
Oh, not because I won. I only won 1 year, and I wasn't even on the board the year I won. So,
well, you made an impact then. You were pretty good.
I just love.
Anita, you are always a leader within our world. I can't imagine a space where you are not sharing something, leading something, encouraging others. That's just who you are.
Well, thank you. But I wasn't saying all that to say I'll get praise, okay? So I took a step back, but we still had a team. We had a team for a couple more years. And then like 2 or 3 years ago, like my team completely was like eighth graders and they graduated and I had no team. I had like three students showing up. Mm-hmm. So we had no team and then COVID hit. So we didn't have a team because we didn't have competition that year. I don't think.
Then, we did the 1 year and then it was virtual.
And then, so this year, Toby, this little sweet eighth grader who every single year has asked me, like he asked me in sixth grade, are we going to have a Helen Ruffin team? Here's why. His brother and his sister were on my Helen Ruffin team and they were both captains mm-hmm. when they were on my team because I do it by points. And he did not, I think he did not want to be the only one left off, not being on Miss Foster's Helen Ruffin team. So he asked me in sixth grade and we tried, but we couldn't get enough people involved in it. I only had like three people. And then in his seventh grade year, we had COVID. And so we didn't have a team. And the poor boy's in eighth grade this year. So every single week, he has nagged me and said, nagged in a good way, and said, Miss Foster, are we going to have a team this year? And I said, I'll tell you what, Toby.
And he's in eighth grade now, right?
He's in eighth grade.
Yeah, said, so this is his last chance. Middle school, anyway.
I will order the books if you get the team. And so yesterday, I know it's late, people that do Helen Ruffin, I know it's late. But yesterday we had our first meeting. And we had been announcing it for about a week that we were having a meeting yesterday.
Anita, they're all saying, oh, phew, she's not going to be competition this year. She started late.
We had 11 show up. That's Mr. Awesome. Crawford went in and went crazy. He was like so excited because Toby has been nagging me and Mr. Crawford has been nagging me. And
was
so,
Mr. Crawford, Crawford on Helen Ruffin in his youth?
He comes to all of our competitions.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. That's awesome.
So I just want to throw out there how amazing it is that this has been something that has been passed down from sibling to sibling.
Yes.
And that this child was like, I can't move forward without this experience. That just talks so much, Anita, about your impact on those babies and what a positive experience they had.
This family is incredible. I know we have a lot of incredible families. This family is incredible. They love to read. Like I would let them check out books during the summer and they would come and take like a cart because they were walkers. They would take a cart home full of books type thing. So, yeah.
But that's a sincere investment in students. Like, I mean, you're committed year after year to every student in that family, every student in the school, that commitment. Like there's a lot of educators out there, but there's special educators out there that have that total investment in their kids and stuff. And so that's what I'm talking about today.
Yeah.
Just that connection and everything. And, so that congratulations, 11 kids. And then you had your first meeting recently. How'd it go?
It went great. I told them because I have been super busy putting some content stuff together for sixth grade social studies. I've been working on it like crazy for the last 2 weeks and doing the research and they want to do a museum walk. So I've had to put the posters together and I printed the posters and they're 2 feet by 4 feet. And I meant pictures and information and stuff for this walk that they're going to do.
Are the books, do you feel like the books for Helen Ruffin are, you know, do you, the list this year for middle school?
I like that they cut them down to 10 books rather than 20. Because that's more manageable for us to read them all. I normally in the past have had students read, you know, if you're a regular student, the more you read, the more points you get, the more questions you submit, the more points you get. Captains had to read half of the books. So I said, I don't care what books you start out with reading, but we have to make sure that they all get covered. But I've been so busy working on that other project that yesterday he made the announcement at dismissals. It's today in the CLC. Come check out Helen Ruffin if you're interested. And I looked at my parent and I went, oh, crap. She went, what? I said, I forgot to update the paperwork and it's 3 years old.
I need
to get the paperwork updated. So I owned it. I totally, y'all know me. I totally owned it. And I was like, All right. I just want to tell y'all, y'all have shocked me. I was expecting 2 to 3 people and to go, okay, I tried. We're not going to have a team this year. I said, but Toby did great job bringing people in, and Mr. Crawford for announcing it this past week. And I said, so I need to update the paperwork real quick while you're reading books. So I went over what Helen Ruffin is and how to do it and things like that. But then while they, I let them check books out already and start reading. And I showed them how to use post-it notes to mark where you have a question you want to ask, and then go back after you've read the book to write the question. And so I had to make the form real quick for them to submit questions, because I use Microsoft Forms for them to submit questions in. And so everything's point-based. And I was like, okay, form is updated. So I was passing it out just before they were ready to leave.
So I just want to say that, again, it is your relationship with this entire family that prompted Toby to find others who was like, hey, Miss Foster is really cool and this is super fun and you should do it with me. And honestly, that's just so impressive.
Imagine the Imagine, besides being on the team and reading the books and doing the competition, you taught him how to go out there and build a team, how to get, have the courage and confidence to approach people, to, you know, seek their interest and to, you know, encourage them to join something at school. So you're talking about a lot of pride that's being built between 11 kids at your school that are going to be role models for other kids. And that's how it starts. It starts from there and then it builds and builds and builds. And so, like, I just love it. I love it so much. And so,
well, yeah. And I mean, let's just talk about the impact you're having on kids reading. So this one solitary kid had two siblings that loved reading and loved reading with you. And now he is out there telling other kids how cool this is and how fun this is. And look at the impact you're having on literacy for your students. Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
Yes, well, absolutely. Yes.
So that was my big thing, getting done with the posters for sixth grade. World War One through the Holocaust was also a big thing that I've done. And then today I've been working with a science teacher. So we have leadership at the end of the day, and it's a 30-minute class. And Mondays is your leadership lesson. We do Stephen Covey and PBIS. And then Tuesdays through Friday is kind of a extension or remediation period. So the students need remediation to help them learn a concept that they're not learning. Then the teachers can work on that. And then your classes that don't need that remediation, the teacher can do some type of extension course with it. And so I've been working with sixth grade science, AC science. And she was looking for something for her AC class to do as an extension for space. And so several weeks ago, probably about a month ago, we sat down and we talked about it. And I said, what about memes? Have you ever thought about teaching them how to make memes and how the picture goes with the text and it has to make sense, and you want it to be a little funny. And sometimes people have to think about it, and how to get pictures properly and not do copyright issues and things. So there's a lot of teachable moments in creating a meme. So I showed the students how to do Adobe Spark, and they create. I'm telling you, she was sharing with me some of the memes that they made today. And I had told them, I said, the person that makes me laugh the most is going to get a prize. And I said, and it's going to take a lot to make me laugh. And the person who creates the most that makes sense is going to get a prize. So it finishes with her last group tomorrow. And they've started submitting them. And there are some phenomenal memes on there. So she came in during her planning period today, and I had some time to work with her, and she's like, okay, my next unit is weather. What are we going to do? And so she wants me to work with her AC class. And I mentioned podcasting, and we may do some podcasting on that, but we're going to do, the students can either do a live weather report from a either tornado or hurricane that happened in real life. Like they can either do, like, they're there live at the event, or they are after the fact, after the event has happened, how are they going to clean up from it and everything? Or they can do a podcast, like a weather bulletin from the National Weather Service that talks about, here's where the hurricane is, it's moving in this direction, and give details about their hurricane through a podcast type format.
I love that so much.
So that way, I was advocating for those students with the podcast. I was advocating for those students that don't like to be on camera. Mm-hmm. And so
that would be me.
So we have, you didn't even want a podcast at first, Darla.
I know. So you know what? It's amazing what how you come out of your shell when you're kind of put out there.
Exactly. So we're going to do that in a few weeks, and I'm excited about that. So I have several lessons coming up with teachers and collaboration with them to work in their to work with their students on things, and that's my favorite part of my job.
Let me know
that
if anybody's hurricane is named Lori.
No, I saw the list, and Lori was not on there, and neither was Anita. Darn Although it. I know there has been a hurricane.
I'm going to say you didn't mention that Ingrid wasn't on the list. I'm just saying.
I can't remember. I'm trying to go by memory. I remember there was a Harvey, and I remember there was an Opal. Of course, there's a David.
Well, while you're thinking, going back to HRB, I want you guys to know I had a different student email me a couple of weeks ago to tell me that she was on my HRB team at the middle school, and she emailed me so excited to tell me that she was chosen as captain at the high school, and this is her first year in high school, and so
that's
like
awesome! Oh my gosh! Yay!
And so I'm not giving out names or anything like that, but this student is also dyslexic. So I want you to know that this was a huge step for her, and working with her during her middle school years to build her confidence in reading and everything and make her a stronger reading. And also, she's a reader now. I mean, like, she is a full legit reader now. And so another thing like that is so important. That's a big part of what school librarians do. And so I just want to read you something that she told me, and I'm going to try to keep some of the things out. She said, I truly believe that the library will always be a form of sanctuary for me. And so I just wanted to read that out there because it really is.
I'm crying. I'm teary-eyed. That is just so... Oh, that's so powerful. And I just am so respectful of the relationships that you create and the positive environment that you make and the response that your students have to that. That's just amazing.
So, and I'm reading this because I know this applies to so many school librarians out there. And so she said, it's crazy to think that reading was once something I feared, and you helped me a lot with that without realizing it. I really miss being in the library with you. And so just if you don't understand as a school librarian the impact that you are making or that you could make, just stop and think about that on the days that, you know, you're just rushed around and you're being pulled in thousands of directions and you're asking yourself, how am I going to get this all done? I can't get caught up. Remember your purpose and remember the impact that you're making on the students, because that's why we're there. That's our job. Like, that's not even our job. That's our mission. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we go there for every single day and spend the time doing what we do, is so that it makes a difference in their lives. And I just challenge any educator out there to try and do that and go. And I think I kind of learned this from you too, Ingrid. If you're ever having a bad day, just go find one of the babies, because they're going to make you feel, you know, you may remind you of why you love your job and you love what you do and stuff. So, but I just wanted to share that because we were talking about HRB and everything. I also want to share, and I'm very excited about this. I was invited to be on the Georgia Children's Book Award Committee. And so I just got Yes, yeah, so I just got
a second and celebrate that. That's amazing. Okay.
I just cannot believe that she has. Okay, guys, you don't understand. We text and talk daily.
Every
and
day.
She just dropped that on us.
Right? Like, I've never heard
casually.
Of
casually.
But I mean, like, we're busy. Like, we're busy taking care of kids every day. I mean, like, you know, I can't, like, they're my focus. I can't just stop and say, oh, sorry, I got to go call my besties.
There's this thing called text, and we send
each other
hundreds, sometimes thousands of texts a night.
I know. But, you know, guys, this has been a rough year for me. And so, like I've mentioned before, I've lost really three very strong, positive women in my life, including my mother this past year. And it has really changed things for me and my perspective on a lot of things and how I view things and how I approach everything and people, too, and stuff. And I had to stop and think about what am I doing? What have I been doing? What am I effective at? What do I want to keep doing? Because I wanted to have a hand in everything because I want to do so much that, you know, I love our career so much, you know, being a school librarian. I was like trying to do so many things. And I had to really step back and say, which one am I getting the most joy out of and which one am I going to make the most impact on and everything? So I really didn't say anything about it because I've been making those shifts and stuff in you know, my time and, you know, what I spend my time on and everything. And so we were just talking about Helen Ruffin Reading Bowl and reading lists, and it just came to my mind. I'm sorry.
So tell us more about it, please.
Yeah.
I'm waiting patiently.
So I have to tell you, I have went to the Georgia Children's Book Award Conference every single year that since I became a library media specialist, except for during COVID when it was canceled and everything. And I'm going to try to go back again next year because I believe it's still in person at this point. And it takes place in March. My goal was because of HRB, because those books are pulled from the Georgia Children's Book Award list, right? And winners and whatever, or nominees. And so I wanted to go to the conference because that's where the state competition is. And I wanted to see how intense it was. I'm like, what am I up against? What am I talking these kids to or what am I talking about with these kids when I tell them what the competition okay. is here and at each so level and
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to pause and talk a minute about your focus and dedication. That's amazing. And one of the many reasons why I respect and adore you. But anyway, continue.
Aw, thank you, Ingrid. Seriously, like, you know what? I mean, you guys are, you're like, I'm where I am today because of the people. I love that quote, the people that you hang around, right? So that goes back at both of you. But I have applied to be on this committee since the first year I went to the conference because I was just so impressed when they get up there and they talk about the books during the conference and we were reading the books and I'm like, God, I want to do that. So I've applied a few different times, but I got the invitation this year and I opened it up and it was awesome. And it was said, I'm thrilled, and thrilled was in like capital letters. And I was like, oh, something good happened. So I'm like reading the email and I'm like, what is it? You know? And so, yeah, it was the Georgia Children's Book Award committee coordinator inviting me to be on the committee. And so that's really in my heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to say it's also because it's expanding my horizons. I can't wait to meet the other people on this committee. Like this is a new direction for me. You know what I mean? And expanding who I am as a school librarian, you know, your professional learning network, you know, and so I'm just so excited about that. And I can't wait to meet everybody and be a part of that. And learn from that experience. So I'll keep you guys posted for sure. I can't say what my book list is because I don't think that, I don't know if we're allowed to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know all the details like that. If it,
right.
Until, cool. like, the list comes, you know, completely because it just started kind of thing. And, but yeah, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Well, after they've been voted on and everything, I'm expecting you to tell and share with me and Ingrid any middle school titles that are books that you think would be middle school appropriate from that list.
For
so
sure.
that, you know, keep us
of
in
course.
The loop. And of course,
absolutely.
We'll have to keep our listeners in the loop too.
I mean, I'll find out if, yeah, I don't think I can say anything until the actual list is created, but I'm new. Like I said, I'm new. So I'm learning the whole process and the timeline
afterwards.
And everything like that. Yes, yes, afterwards, for sure.
We could do like maybe a book review on here.
Exactly.
That would be so much fun. That would be completely fun. Yes, absolutely. So, but yeah, I just wanted to share that because we're talking about all these positive things and everything. So, especially that, you know, are connected to impacting kids and stuff. So, I am a firm believer that if you're not a reader, you can't try to encourage a student to be a reader either. And so I have that conversation a lot with my colleagues too. Let our kids see you reading. You don't have to read an entire book in front of them, but let them see you reading something or a magazine or whatever. Oh, and I'm also super excited. I don't know if you guys know this, but
she's just dropping everything on us tonight.
Right? I don't know if I'm like, supposed to or not. This applies to all three of us, really, because I love Sora. Okay, I absolutely love Sora, and it's one of the apps that we have in our suite of resources in our school district. And so I try to use it as much as possible, and I use it to read from, etc. and stuff. So, have you guys been in there lately?
I want to say that the last time I was in Sora was August.
Okay.
The last time I was in there was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay. So my first book fair is the last week of October, and it's always Halloween theme. But we have digital magazines in Sora right now. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like going in there and I'm looking and looking, and I came across National Geographic Kids, which is absolutely fabulous. I'm like, I'm a kid again. Like all the cool and fun fact stuff. Like it's right up the kids' alley. Like that's what they love, all these cool, gory facts and things like that. But it was the Halloween edition, which ties in with my Halloween book fair. So I took that and I'm using it as a resource to create activities for the students to do in the library and then be able to win prizes at the book fair. And so
I remember Holly talking about this, and it's unlimited logins too.
Yes.
So it's not just, you know, one or two logins. All of our students have access to it, and it's unlimited.
Yes. So, I mean, great teaching resource, great resource for kids to use for, you know, if they're writing a paper or need to find information, or it's just fun. Like we have these new rocking chairs in our library. And so I'm like, come and get an iPad and just sit back in a rocker and rock and look at this really cool magazine and check out all these really cool things. So like, I mean, I created, you know, I went and looked at the magazine, and then I pulled out these different features from the magazine and told the kids what pages they're on and stuff. And like one of the pages is a Halloween pet parade. So I'm like, draw a picture of your pet in a Halloween costume. You know, your pet like you can give me an actual picture of your pet in a Halloween costume. If your pet has one, that's totally fine too. But if you don't, if your pet doesn't have a costume, then create one and draw him with whatever costume you want your pet to wear. And I just thought that was so cool. And then they've got this double spread about great gourds and stuff. So it's talking about all these facts about pumpkins and everything. So I have a pumpkin in the library and they have to guess the weight of it kind of thing. And there's this bat myths busted, and it's a great big article, and then all these facts about bats and stuff. And there's actually a couple of YouTube videos in there. And so I'm gonna have kids making bats at this maker station, and then if they watch the video, they can share a really cool fact that they learned about bats that they didn't know, kind of thing. And then there's also this other spread called Mythical Creatures, and it's like an art zone thing. So our kids love to draw in color. I don't know if it's an elementary thing or not, but we're also getting ready to do arts integration. And so I'm so excited about that because I love art. So anyway, which is probably why I create these things too. It's not just the kids, but anyway. So anyway, they get to create, draw, and color their own mythical creature. And so I was going to do cardboard and have them create a mythical creature from cardboard. And I might even just kind of throw that out there maybe, but I don't know, at the elementary level, and Anita, you can help me with this. How well would like the K through second grade do with working and cutting cardboard? So I'm still learning all that stuff at the elementary level. So that's why I was kind of like,
actually,
kindergarten,
there's actually a whole thing called Maker Me or Me Maker, I can't recall, that is just about constructing items from cardboard. I just added it to my makerspace. So they have like cutting tools, and they have like screws that go into cardboard. So it's so funny you would bring that up, but
What is that for, like, upper L kids?
Yeah,
because I'm really for like so, or for K through 5 or 6.
Yeah, because the cutting tools
are safe.
Dull.
They're safe.
And
okay.
The screws aren't sharp. And on Wednesday, our makerspace program is creating a foosball, like with a little people.
Oh, yay.
Yes. Yeah, and it's all through cardboard and the Me Make. I want to say it's called Me Make, but it's amazing. So I highly recommend it.
Thank you for sharing that out, because I've been sharing tons of, I mean, not sharing, but I've been saving tons of cardboard. So I have this big thing. I wish I could have a Gaylord box to keep cardboard in a corner in a storage room somewhere, so that I can just keep throwing that cardboard in there so I can bring it out when I want to do a maker activity. But thank you for sharing that, Ingrid. I'll look it up. And
big container for that. Okay. So kindergarten, no, they probably at this time of the year don't even know how to hold scissors. I mean, that's an ordeal in kindergarten. First grade, they know how to use scissors, but I'm not sure about them cutting through cardboard.
I know, it's pretty thick.
They
yeah.
could probably do like card stock.
Okay,
really well.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm going to tell you about something that I saw on my favorite app called Pinterest. And you can take cardboard and you can make like haunted houses with it and whole towns and stuff. But you can take and make haunted houses.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And but what they do is they layer the cardboard in such a way that like sometimes they just peel the front of it off, so it has that rigid on the inside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They have that rigid on the outside, like siding and stuff. So I thought that was really cool. With the littler ones, like I'm thinking 4th and 5th grade could do something like that. But with the littler ones, like in 2nd and 3rd grade, you might be able to get some of the milk cartons from the cafeteria.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And let them decorate those like haunted houses or something.
I love that. That's a good idea. I love it, love it, love it. So okay, like just
ladies, on that happy note, we are an hour into our podcast. So I feel like this is just a conversation that we need to have another time and allow our listeners to move on as much as I could literally just spend all my time.
I know, right? Exactly. Well, thank you for keeping us on task, Ingrid. I appreciate it because, yeah, we could go on forever, but we do. We have to make that another conversation. You are correct. And I actually have a movie date, and Anita has been waiting to eat her barbecue dinner. I don't know if she's been sneaking any bites there or not. Nope. And so it's getting late, and we already had a meeting before this, and so it's been a long day. TGIF for tomorrow, and Woo-hoo! So tomorrow's Friday, and
well, only
I hope
you're posting this tonight.
Well, that's true too. That's probably
so.
So do something special this weekend to pamper yourself. How about that?
Yes,
I am.
So anyway, well, it's been great talking with you, besties. Absolutely. I think this was a fabulous conversation. Well, several conversations. And so to our guests, I have a Twitter for my library, and it's at Library Fair Oaks. If you ever want to go on it and see what we're doing in my library, Anita, do you have a Twitter for your library still?
I do. It's Autry CLC. I don't post that much on it. I need to get back into it. And then I also have Anita Reads. Again, I've just taken a step back from social media.
So, and that's perfectly fine. I think it helps you refresh and everything and build up your energy, your positive energy and stuff too. So, and Ingrid, your Twitter.
iHandsome12 at Twitter. And I did not take a break because I wanted better mental health. I just suck at social media. So I occasionally post, and if you want to follow me, that's fabulous. But if not, that's okay too.
But when you post, you always have the cutest little stories about your kids. So that's also inspirational. It's not, you know, I'm going to tell you, you can have the most brand new, fabulous, state-of-the-art library and do the most amazing state-of-the-art, and you're well-trained in doing makerspace and reading literacy or whatever it is that you do and everything. But if you're not connecting with kids, that's just a shell. That's just stuff, right? And so it's all about the kids. Right. And they're the ones that bring what we create to life, and they are the ones that benefit from it. So I just want to leave on that note, because your stories are super cute on Twitter when you post them.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, y'all have a great evening, and we will go ahead and end this wonderful conversation from Overdue.
And thank this you for overdue listening conversation. Thank you for listening to our conversations and our ramblings.
Yes.
And
yes. And yeah. Don't forget our Twitter too, at Overdue Lib Talk. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And yes.
And we look forward to chatting with you soon.
Yes. That's okay. Right. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Just a reminder that everything we say is our own opinions and not the opinions of our school or our district. Thank you.